The second psalm. Why this tumult among nations, among peoples this useless murmuring? They arise, the kings of the earth, princes plot against the Lord and his anointed. Come, let us break their fetters. Come, let us cast off their yoke. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord is laughing them to scorn. Then he will speak in his anger. His rage will strike them with terror. It is I who have set up my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will announce the decree of the Lord. The Lord said to me, "You are my son. It is I who have begotten you this day. Ask, and I shall bequeath you the nations, put the ends of the earth in your possession. With a rod of iron you will break them, shatter them like a potter's jar. Now, kings, understand. Take warning, rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with awe, and trembling pay him your homage, lest he be angry and you perish, for suddenly his anger will blaze. Blessed are they who put their trust in God." Why do the nations rage? This is a question that could perhaps be asked by a philosopher, you know. Why is it that nations engage in warfare? But it's a very different kind of question engaged in by those who must live it, by soldiers who die in the trenches, by their mothers who send them off to war not knowing what will happen, those who see their homes, their fields burned down and abandoned, those who see years of peace dissolve in moments. This was, for centuries, the experience of ancient Israel. Trapped between warring empires, moving back and forth, unable to secure their own peace, vulnerable to constant sieges and political machinations. They might ask, well, why do the nations rage? And they might seek a promise. How could we simply live in peace, and why can we not live in peace? And you could imagine the frustration of seeing the simplicity of a peaceful life suddenly be taken from you. And yet, again and again, this is what happens. Now, in this psalm, we hear a certain promise. It's that these nations are not simply raging to no end, but they are raging against the Lord and his anointed. First of all, in that time, it meant against King David and his dynasty. The nations are trying to destroy God's people. They're trying to set up their foreign idols, to take over and establish their own pagan worship. They are the devil's army. And the people of God alone stand against them, holding on to the true worship against all odds. And yet their confidence is not in their own military strength, not in their own political savvy. Indeed, they could not have much of either. They were some backwater country trapped between much more politically important empires. But instead, their confidence, all the confidence they had, was that they were God's people. And that their duty was to give themselves to God, to serve him and to follow him. And so the prophets always understood that behind this question of why the nations rage, is the work of God in bringing his people back to himself. His people might be punished for their sins or called to repentance when foreign nations invade. They may see the glory of God when, against all odds, the invading armies are crushed or fall apart or dissolve at the final moments. And indeed, all these things happened. And the people were able to understand more deeply something of God's love. And even when exiled by the Babylonians, they were able to realize that God was watching over them, leading them in his own way, that through the raging of the nations, this great eternal plan of God's victory was always being accomplished. Because indeed, the nations could rage all they wanted to try to establish their own order. as if by crawling over top of one another and stomping on each other, they could at last reach the Garden of Eden again and live in freedom. But, of course, if impossibly one could reach the Garden of Eden, you would find it guarded by an angel with a flaming sword. You would be dashed to pieces. And so it was again and again with the enemies of God. And yet, those who put their trust in God will not be shaken. They have a great protector, a great victor. Now, there is an ancient monastic tradition of understanding the nations in the Psalms to refer to the vices, to our temptations to sin. Right, just as the Israelites had to leave Egypt and go into the desert to drive out the nations before taking the promised land, well, so also the ancient monks went into the desert to combat with the vices and to drive them out so as to enter into God's promises. And in our own lives, we find this raging of the nations, that we are tempted again and again to sin, that our peace is taken from us, that by lust and greed and anger and envy and pride, we are divided one from another, divided away from the true source of our happiness. And we might think, why can we not just live in peace, free from these temptations? Why can we not live at peace with one another and at peace with God? Surely that would be better. And yet, we find ourselves assailed by all of our sins. It is almost as if we are caught up in this raging of the nations, in this attempt to storm the gates of Eden, and we are tempted all too often to go along with it, to follow along with these vices and try to take this peace of God for ourselves through our own prideful inventions. But this will not save us because we cannot take the kingdom of God for ourselves. Instead, it has come down to us, not in the Garden of Eden from which we were all shut away, but on a hill on which was replanted the tree of life. And on this hill we find Jesus Christ, the descendant of David, the anointed one, who gives his life for us, who, despite all of our sins, has poured out everything he had for the sake of our salvation. And here we find the true source of our peace, the Prince of Peace, who can finally put to rest this raging of the nations. And he has given himself for us every day. He gives his body and blood on our altars. He gives us the graces in the sacraments. And so, in the midst of all of the nations and all their raging, we turn to the cross again and again. We turn to the Prince of Peace, knowing that by his wounds we are healed, that we who share in the sufferings of the cross will also share in the victory.